Well, good morning to the fellowship at Grace. This is Tuesday morning, just before lunch, and this is the first of what I suspect will be many podcasts, video or audio uploads that you'll be able to access and keep up with important information, but most importantly that we can use this avenue to maintain our spiritual food that's so essential to our life and our sanctification, especially in times that are unusual, difficult times, which is a time that we are in now. It's encouraging and must always be encouraging to every believer that God is never surprised and He always leads. And so I found in years past, whenever facing a difficulty, a challenge, maybe it's in an individual's life or in the life of the church, that it does us good to say, where does God have us? In other words, what has He been teaching us or reminding us of in His Word? Because He's always ahead of us. And sometimes it's days later, weeks later, we're able to nourish ourselves on the truths that He has been taking us through in recent weeks. On January 19th, on Sunday morning here, this is what we talked about. I said, it is perhaps one of the most common experiences in the Christian life that God feels far away. It's like He's hiding Himself from us or withholding His presence. Maybe that's a good way to say it. In those times, the believer can feel destitute and despairing and doubtful, and it can linger. And the anxiety and the doubt begins to produce fear. And as I said on that Sunday, it's common. Because it's common to face trials. It's common to face fearful times. Paul reminded the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation, and literally that word simply means experience. It gets the idea of a temptation from what Paul says next. It's an experience that has overtaken you. No experience has ever overtaken you, Paul says, but such as is common to man. And in that experience, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or experience this beyond what you're able. But with that experience, with that trial, He'll always provide the way of escape so that you'll be able to endure it. Later in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks again about not common experiences, but the common relationship we have to one another. He says, if one member in a Christian fellowship suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When he wrote the Thessalonians, he said, we speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and the afflictions which you endure. He was aware of the troubles not just in a local church, but in all the churches. It was a burden to him, and it was a burden that he thought should be shared. So it's common to face trials. It was common in the first century, and it's been common throughout the history of the church. And even before that, in the Old Testament, well, all you have to do is open your pages in the Old Testament and see that the record of God's working in and through His people is filled with examples of trials and sufferings and national disasters and pestilences, all manner of fearful times. Knowing that matters. And just to pick a bit at all the information that's surrounding us, this word I've heard repeated again and again. It's the word unprecedented. We're told we're facing something that's unprecedented. You can look that word up in the dictionary. It means never done or known before. To say something is unprecedented is to make it unlike anything we've known before. It really isn't a word we should toss around. Of course, most of the time, the meaning is something that I've never faced before, or something maybe that we've never faced. But if we think deeper, if we think more biblically as we orient ourselves to these circumstances, we need to reserve the language of extreme for those things that God says are in fact extreme. There are things God refers to as being unprecedented. For instance, you could open to the first page of your Bible and read the unprecedented account of God Himself creating everything that is out of nothing. You can read in chapter 3 of Genesis about the fall of man in the garden, an unprecedented event that had a global, universal, and effect throughout all generations that even today we suffer from. The rise of sin before the flood, recorded in Genesis chapter 6. It was unprecedented. God says that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's unprecedented wickedness. And it brought about an unprecedented response of judgment from God. To deliver his people from bondage in Egypt, God sent a series of unprecedented plagues. One of those, just as an example, in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 14, was the plague of the locust. And this is what Moses recorded. The locust came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. And then this, there had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. It was an unprecedented event. He goes on to say they covered the whole land. The whole land was darkened. They ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that had been left over from the last unprecedented event, which was the hailstorm. Thus, Moses says, nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Under the rule of Joshua, God's people came under attack by five armies from five nations. And the people cried out to God for help, and he intervened. And he did it in an unprecedented way. The sun stood still. Joshua reflects on that in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14. He said, there was no day like that before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You see, those events are unprecedented. We talk about the intervention of God into human history, into natural events to bring about his will. And when Christ came, the unprecedented intervention of God arrived in a whole new way. He himself arrived in an unprecedented way. He was born of a virgin. And he worked in unprecedented ways to prove himself to be the very Son of God. John chapter 9, verse 32, after Jesus had healed a blind man, John writes this, since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Unprecedented miracles at the hand of Jesus. And of course, we've seen just in the past few weeks in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the end of all things as we know it, that there is in the future an unprecedented wrath that God will pour out on this earth. My point is simple. One of the ways we distinguish ourselves in times of trouble as Christians is our confidence and our peace and our security in God. And that's expressed in our language. And so I would suggest that we get used to saying it this way. This trial is not unprecedented. God's people have seen many times like it and many times worse. My primary reason for emphasizing that isn't to correct somebody's language on the television or something you've listened to, but to help you to focus fairly on what's really surrounding us, to have a perspective that is consistent with our faith, which means a truthful, honest perspective. Okay? So, in this common trial that now confronts us, what's our comfort and what is our mission? Well, our comfort is the promise of God. In a time of despair and fear, David cried out to God, and then he reminded himself of the truth. Psalm 22, verse 3. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out, and they were delivered. In you they trusted, and they were not disappointed. That's the truth. God, you are holy. God, you are high. You are above and beyond this circumstance. God, you are trustworthy. God, you hear our cries. And God, you will deliver us. That's what we know, and that's our comfort. But that comfort is mediated through so many, many ways, and most often God doesn't mediate His comfort in an unprecedented deliverance. No, most often His deliverance comes through ordinary means. He delivers through ordinary means, and that means, well, that means us. You see, we are the instruments of grace in times of need. We are the arms of comfort in times of despair. We are the provision of care in times of want. Each of us doing our part. Each of us using our gifts. Each of us thinking of others before ourselves. This is common for Christians, and it has to be common for us. Now, that means you might need to call us. You need to call the church if you have any need at all. We'll work as God provides to respond to those needs. The office will be open these coming weeks for normal hours. You can call, of course, 24 hours a day, and one of your pastors or another will respond. Share the truth of what we really know about this circumstance and other trials like it. Share that truth with your friends who don't have the peace of God to draw from or the people of God to lean on. Pray that God might use this situation to again accomplish the unprecedented work of grace that is the saving of every sinner who calls on Him. And I have to say, remember the importance of your gifts, your financial support to sustain the ministries here at Grace. You see, the expenses go on even though our worship has been interrupted in all likelihood, certainly through the end of March and probably beyond for a few weeks. So please use the online options for giving. Some detail on that has been sent out via email, so look for that. But you can also mail your gifts, or you can stop by and drop them in at the lobby of the church in the gift box where you ordinarily would do that. So thanks for dropping in to watch and to listen. Next time, I want to talk a bit about where God has us in our study about the end. Seems pretty appropriate, and the blessed news of the fulfillment of His promises to His children. So until we talk again, God bless.